Welcome to the Meet Me Downstairs podcast. I'm your host, Britt, and I'm here to bring you some real-ass conversations about what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a mother, what it means to really just live in this world in female skin and feel empowered and educated and connected to our body. So the type of conversations that you're gonna hear are gonna be with a mixture of experts in the field of female existence and also real women, real mothers, just wanting to share a window into their world so that we can connect better. Remember, you're never alone. Your sisters are right here on the other end of your speaker, and you can always message us to connect deeper. So get ready to learn about yourself, to love yourself, and just embrace this experience. Pop in your headphones, turn up your speaker loud, and let's do the damn thing. Hey everyone, thank you for coming back to another episode. And as I sort of mentioned at the intro of the season, I'm going to be including some birth stories into this podcast, and really just as a way to kind of just share the magic of birth and the different colors of birth. And you know, it's not a one size fits all. Everybody's birth experience is unique to them, and I just feel so excited that I get to share the magic of life and to share different forms of birth and different experiences that, you know, end in a baby. And I want to create this space as a positive space for birth, even though there may be traumatic stories that we listen to or share, really beautiful and sacred stories. I just really want to paint the picture of birth in all shapes and sizes, just like we do motherhood in all forms. So I thought it would be best to kick off the birth stories with sharing mine. And so, yeah, Britt, that's me. I have an 18-month-old son named Maverick, and birth was pretty epic. Like that, it was the beginning of the liberation of me as a woman, and the beginning of starting this journey and starting this podcast and bringing this community together of women and mothers. And so I felt it was right to share. So here we go. Pregnancy was pretty good. I did have nausea for about 18 weeks. So that was not so fun. And I remember there was a point where I was like, am I ever going to not feel nauseous? And then it did pass, but I had a pretty decent pregnancy. I did switch OBs halfway through, and I think I'll share that story a little bit because I think it's important to, you know, trust your gut when you're in moments like big moments, just to trust your gut. And so I had an original OB who was very popular where I'm from and, you know, has of course had lots of successful deliveries. And I didn't really do any research. I just said, okay, I'm going to go to this person because this is where everybody I know is going. And every time that I had an appointment with this OB, it was very quick and very rushed. I never felt like I was being heard. They were super light and jokey, which I appreciated, but I never felt like I had the opportunity to really speak about my wishes or, you know, answer questions. So it was, I don't know, I never felt quite comfortable. And as I started to do more ultrasounds and that kind of stuff, I noticed that the language that they were using was really leaning towards a C-section. And I didn't want to have that. I wanted to have a vaginal birth. I wanted to try and do no drugs. And so when I kept hearing C-section coming up a lot, I was immediately feeling really insecure and really anxious and not like I was being heard, that my wishes were being heard. So as I continued in my pregnancy, they were noticing that I had a partial placenta previa, which meant that my placenta was partially covering my cervix. And it was like right away, they were like, okay, done deal. You're having a C-section. So just get on board with it. And I hated that. I was like, who are you to tell me that? You know, I started doing research on my own and I saw that, you know, it could shift, but in their mind, they were not giving me even the space. It was like a done deal that I was already going to have a C-section. And in my gut was this voice, or in my head, there was this voice telling me to explore other options. And like, just because this person is well known doesn't mean that they're the choice for me. And so I did that. I got some names from other people. I did research on different OBs where I'm from. And I went to an appointment. And the OB, she did an ultrasound. And she saw the placenta previa. And the first words out of her mouth was, "Oh, this is going to move. You have nothing to worry about. You know, vaginal delivery is like, I don't think we have any problems right now." And right then and there, I breathed this like incredible sigh of relief, and I never went back to the other doctor. And so the reason that I'm sharing this is because there's so much fear already that surrounds birth and labor that we can forget to trust our instincts, and we can forget to question people in power. So just because my original OB was more knowledgeable than me, and yes, had a lot of experience, and I will never doubt that or question their skill as a doctor, but they didn't give me the space that I needed to be true to what I wanted or to just hold my hand through the process. And so I trusted my instincts, and I did the big thing, and I just switched. And I'm so grateful that I did that, because I found a person who was more in line with the type of birth that I wanted, the type of language that I spoke. You know, going to appointments with my new OB was like incredible. It was like a night and day experience. So trust your gut. Do not be afraid to question something that doesn't feel right for you. That's a huge thing in birth. When you're in birth, it's such a vulnerable and primal state that you're sort of like, you have tunnel vision. All you're focused on is getting your baby out safely. So anything that is coming at you from an external source can be easily like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever you want. So don't be afraid to question things. Don't be afraid to stand up for what you want. Don't be afraid to feel empowered in that space, because it's a huge part of your life, your birth. So be brave, be bold, you can do this. And that was also a huge reason that led me to becoming a doula. So anyways, all that aside, I switched. My placenta moved and I was on track, and I did have vaginal delivery. My experience was, you know, I was doing visualizations and meditations and stuff every night before I went to bed, envisioning this is what my birth is going to look like. And of course, it wasn't how it was supposed to look. I wanted very strongly to have a vaginal delivery with no pain medication. I do have a little thing with control. And so I don't like things that sort of like alter the control of my body. So I've never really been into drugs or alcohol or anything like that. And I didn't want to have chemical, because that was going to alter my control of my physical space. And I also just really wanted to birth. Like, I've wanted to be a mother since I can remember. So it was important for me that I birthed in this way. So my contractions woke me up out of my sleep. Very typical story at like 2 a.m. I wasn't quite sure what it was, like the first one. I was like, oof, is this it? I didn't think to wake up my partner yet, because I just wanted to see if it was in fact a contraction. And then maybe about 4 minutes later, I had another one. I was like, oh, no, this is it for sure. I can't even like 18 months later, like even try to define what a contraction felt like. Even as a doula, I'm useless at that, because everyone's contractions are going to feel different. And the way to explain it, I just feel like there's no words in the human vocabulary to do that. So I woke up my partner, Christian, and I was like, it's happening right now. Like, this is happening. And typically your contractions in the beginning tend to come fairly spaced out, like, you know, maybe 7 minutes apart, 10 minutes apart, and sort of like erratic. So it could be 2 minutes, then 7, then 8, then 5, or whatever. There's not a rhythm formed. But for me, it was basically 2 to 3 minutes right out of the gate. And that scared me. Also having these issues with control that I do, I did feel like I was in a bit of a panic, and I was really nervous going into labor about labor. Like, I was scared for what that was going to feel like. So we kind of like quickly got up. I was a bit nervous. I was checking, you know, my underwear to see if my water had broke. Nothing had sort of happened yet, but I, you know, I was like, oh, I really need to poo. So I did. I like emptied my bowels, and then we kind of like got the hospital bag, made sure everything was in gear, and then my water did break. It wasn't like a big gush, but it was a trickle, but enough that I was like, no, there's water coming out of me right now. So I put a pad on so that we could sort of capture that water. We called the hospital and they said to come down. And so we did, and we went down, and oh, y'all, let me tell you, these contractions were out of this world and like coming so fiercely and strongly together that I almost didn't even have a chance to breathe. And I really did get myself worked up and got myself into a bit of a panic. In my head, I was sort of thinking like, oh, they're coming so close together. Maybe this means that labor is going to be really quick and like we're going to get down to the hospital and it's going to be like, we got to push, and that everything would still be like as I dreamed. And so we got down to the hospital. They did a check on my cervix and I was only 1 centimeter dilated. And I was like, oh shit, we have such a long way to go. They had noticed in my pad that the water was brown that was coming out of me, which meant that my son had pooed inside of me, which could be a sign of distress. So I had to be hooked up to this monitor that was constantly monitoring my son's heart rate. So that was a bit nerve-wracking for me, and also meant that I was limited to the hospital bed. So I couldn't like walk around the hallway or do anything like that. That was not that great because I had plans on like how, you know, wanting to move around and do all this kind of stuff. The contractions kept getting stronger and stronger. And I mean, I was like, I don't even think I knew where I was really. Like, the pain was unbearable. It was incredible. And I remember just hanging around my partner's neck, and I was sort of like crying a bit and, you know, like trying to bounce through or jump through the pain, breathe through the pain. And, you know, he kept saying like, are you sure you don't want to get the epidural? And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. That's not part of my plan. Like, I was so stubborn and so adamant against it. And then they did, about 6 hours later, they did another check on my cervix. And I was like, this has got to be, they're going to tell me that we're ready. When they checked, I was 3 centimeters. So in 6 hours, I'd only moved 2 centimeters, and I felt defeated. I felt completely defeated. And in that moment, teary-eyed, like welling up, I looked to Christian and I said, I think I need the epidural. And right away, I could see relief in his face. So we called our OB, and she came down and called the anesthesiologist. And within a half an hour, everybody was there ready to give me the epidural. I like didn't even feel the needle go in. It was like nothing in comparison to what I had just been going through for the last like 6.5 hours. So I had got the epidural, and then about 30 minutes after that baby worked like a charm. It was great. I think there's some sort of statistic, I don't know if this is exactly right, but like 15% of women don't feel the full effects of an epidural. So I was within that 15%. But in a way, it was exactly what I wanted, because it ended up feeling like a walking epidural or like a partial. So I was still actually able to feel the contractions. I was able to breathe through the contractions. I still had a bit of movement in my legs, but it really took the edge off. And it was incredible. Like, I was in this crazy state of panic and anxiety. And this epidural, like, brought me back to earth. And all this fear that I had about it, you know, relinquishing this control, which I didn't have anyway. Letting go of my birth plan, like, being willing to give in to something else. It completely transformed my birth experience. Because I went from this deep pain and panic to a state of relaxation. I was able to put music on a speaker in the hospital room. I was able to have my family come in, and the room felt like magic. It was so nice. And even my, you know, my partner's sister, she was like, whatever birthing playlist you have, like, I need that. Because when I walked into that room, it felt like I was in this like really zen space. And so for the next, you know, 6 hours, we just kind of hung out and we listened to music and we just talked and got really excited. And as I started to near up to 9 centimeters, my mom called my dad, who was at work across the street, and he came, and things started to get really hot again. You know, the pain started to amp up, the contraction started to get bigger, the epidural was wearing off, and the doctor asked if I wanted to do like another hit of the epidural. And I said no, because I don't know, I was in this sort of like animal state and I felt so powerful as a woman that I was like, I can do this. My dad came into the room. He could see that I was a bit nervous and he coached me on my breathing. So actually, I should say he came first. So yeah, so things ramped up. I started to feel the pain again. I was getting a little bit nervous, nervous for the fear of what I was feeling before because the epidural was wearing off. My dad came into the room and he could see that on my face and he started to coach me with breathing. And y'all, my father became my doula. Yes, Christian was there, but he was going through this too. Like, this is his first baby. Neither of us knew what we were doing. I was not a doula yet. I didn't have the information that I do now. Not that I would ever be my own doula. You know, we were just a couple of kids, like, about to have a baby and not knowing what the hell to experience. And my dad, who is a dentist in the medical field, had two babies with, you know, with my mom. He just started to give me breathing exercises. And I cannot explain the level of, I suppose I could say control, but I suppose it's control over my own emotional state and my mental state. That's what it gave me. He was right next to my side as we just breathed. And then, yes, then they came in. They were like, do you want to top up the epidural? And in that state, I felt so primal and so powerful. And I said no. And I didn't need it. I had this. I had my dad by my right side and Christian on my left side, the doctor in front, and I was ready to go. And we were deeply breathing. I was in like a trance. I don't even, like, when I look back on it now, I definitely had to have been in some sort of like meditated trance space. And so when she was like, okay, we're going to start to get ready to push, and I looked at my dad and I was like, please don't go. And he was like, I'm not going to leave you. I'll be here the whole time. So that was not something I had ever thought in my head, like my dad going to see me give birth, see my vulva, vagina, everything. But in that state, in that moment, I didn't even care and I didn't need to. So I birthed with two men at my side, which is a bit unorthodox, but I wouldn't have had it any other way. It was wonderful. And so we pushed, I pushed for about an hour, and I could feel him like move through my body. It was the craziest sensation. And of course, the epidural still had an effect. It wasn't completely gone, but I could feel it, which is what I wanted. I wanted to feel that birth. I wanted to feel what it was like to have my son move through my body. We had music playing. I was pushing on the contractions. About an hour later, you know, he was basically crowning. And when his head came out, it was this crazy sense of relief. Like, I felt like almost like a pop. I don't even know. It was like, it just came out and I was like, oh, oh my God. Oh my God. I looked down and I could touch the top of his head. I could sort of like see his face. And one push after that, I was out. He was out. And he just like slid out of my body. He was delivered directly onto my chest. And I just sobbed, like uncontrollably sobbed. Christian started crying. We were both just like a couple of basket cases holding onto our son covered in poo. Just looking at this and just feeling so high. Like, I felt so incredible. And my son was here and he was on my chest and everything went well. And he was healthy and perfect and safe. And I was healthy and perfect and safe. And it was a really beautiful experience. And I honestly attribute that to, one, the epidural, and two, to my father. Because, you know, I had all these fears and stigmas and stuff going in about, you know, chemical help. And I just didn't want that. But I am so relieved that I got it, because it took me from a place of fear and pain and anxiety and panic to this, to a space where I was able to experience this bliss and experience this peace. And I was also able to experience the feeling of my birth. And my father, who, if he had not come in, maybe I would have topped up my epidural, but I didn't need to. He was my doula. And that, so the experience in the beginning with my switching my OBs and then having that strength by my side, like that coach, that is what led me to becoming a doula. So many women out there are having birth experiences that are feeling so traumatic or that they're not being heard. And I just can't live life knowing that that's happening. And I wanted to be able to give to another woman what was given to me. And in no shame, even if it's an elective C-section or you definitely want drugs or like whatever, that's, I am so all for you making your choice. I just want to help you feel supported and help you feel in control of your mental state and your emotions whilst you're going through this, and being able to, you know, be empowered for yourself and speak up for yourself and not let someone take advantage of you because you're in a vulnerable position, and to honor the birth that you're supposed to have, you know. I did tear. It was fairly minor. I had to have stitches, but I was very happy that I did not have an episiotomy, because that stuff can be so nasty. So I decided to tear. So I did, and I got stitched up, and that was fine. Like, Lisa, my worries, delivered the placenta. We did delayed cord clamping, delivered the placenta. And then I remember just feeling like the high had gone and the exhaustion set in. My blood sugar was low, and so I was able to eat some food, and, you know, whilst they were stitching me up, you know, my son was breastfeeding for the first time, and, oh, it's just so magical, you guys. I am so grateful that I get to share this story with you all, and we're going to have all kinds of stories on here that are different to mine, and some are more traumatic, and some are different, but I want to share them all because they're all so beautiful and so valid. We had some dinner. We were then taken into the out of the delivery room and into the room that we were staying in, and the rest is like a bit of a blur. It was feeding every hour. I didn't want to like have him away from me, so I didn't even want him to sleep in the bassinet, so I had him like right next to me in the hospital bed. I barely slept because I just didn't want to take my eyes off of him. Just wanted to make sure that he was okay. We were in this like safe cocoon at the hospital. Like, the nurses were wonderful, and we were there for 2 days because my blood pressure was a little bit low, so they wanted that to get up before I went home. And so, yeah, and I just wanted to say, like, when we got home, I felt very scared. I remember just going into the bedroom with my son in my car seat, this like 2-day-old baby. I went into the bedroom, I closed the door, I put him on the bed, and I just cried. I was like, I have no idea how I'm supposed to do this. We didn't have the help of the hospital staff. It was like all of a sudden just on us, and I cried. I just wanted to share, you know, it's not always this like blissful and magical feeling. And it is, I mean, yes, the magic is within the fear and within the tears and all that stuff too. But just know that when you have these moments, you're bound to have them in the first, well, throughout motherhood. Let me not even just categorize that to first, throughout motherhood. These breakdowns, you're being tested to your limits. And especially postpartum, where you're dealing with hormonal shifts and sleep deprivation and your body going through a traumatic experience, no matter the type of birth that you had, and not being able to heal. Like, if people are running marathons, they're taking time to heal afterwards. Women, moms don't get that option. They have to go straight into another heavy, like, marathon upon marathon upon marathon. And so just give yourself space to let those things come up, to let those emotions arise, to let yourself feel whatever it is that you feel, and to not pressure yourself into being a certain way. You were made for this. You were made to experience this if you choose, you know, if you choose to have babies and you choose to do that and you get pregnant and you have your child, you are built to do this. You're built to birth. You're built to mother, and you're built to experience a human experience, which is not perfect. So totally rambled, but I love you guys so much. If you have any questions or you want to share your birth story, please message me. I love sharing this stuff, and I'm so happy that I can make this a new segment in the podcast and be able to highlight birth and also highlight doulas and to highlight midwives and to highlight OBs and people, nurses and people that are helping bring life into the world. And if you guys need a virtual doula, I'm here. I also do birth classes that are highly educated and non-judgmental and talk about everything. Then you can contact me. I do those virtually too. That's not what this was for. This is not a plug for that. But now that I'm here, I am plugging it. So get ready to hear some more stories coming up. The next one is a beautiful woman called Tess, and she is going to share her story, which is very different to mine, but just as beautiful. And she has a bit more of a physically and mentally, emotionally traumatic experience with placenta previa, preeclampsia, and an unplanned C-section. So we're going to get into that in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure when that will come out based on the schedule, but you guys will hear it. And then we'll have other stories as well. So love you guys so much and see you on the next one. Thank you so much for listening in. As always, if you enjoyed, leave us a review. It really supports our channel and it helps it to grow and let other people who might be interested in this stuff find us. And then also please just share it, subscribe, love it, whatever it is that you guys do to keep supporting. We appreciate it so much, and we will chat on the next episode.